Out of his great love and learn the meaning one man's sin brought it in to the perfect paradise that God had made. Blood was shed to pay the debt, and the priest would sacrifice day after day. But this would never satisfy. The price of sin was just too high. Only one, God's only Son, could take it all away. This man was wholly sinless. This man did not deserve it. This man gave it all to set me free. This man with his blood divine settled it for all time, and now he lives to intercede for me. No one else could ever love me like he can. None but this man.
Beneath the load, he walks the road that led him up the hill to Calvary. With all mankind weighing on his mind, he hung there on that cross for all to see. The battle raged and darkness fell as the victor over death and hell. For every sin, for every man, died there on that tree. Changes never. This man rose again in victory. This man with his blood divine settled it for all time, and now he lives to intercede for me. No one else could ever love me like he can. Forever, this man, he changes never. This man rose again in victory. This man with his blood divine settled it for all time, and now he lives to intercede for me. No one else could ever love me like he can, none but this man, none but this man.
Amen. Amen. This man named Jesus, boy, makes all the difference in the world, don't it? Well, what a blessing that is. This man, he paid my sin debt and paid your sin debt. Don't know what you walked in here with, and I don't know what you're dealing with today, and have no idea. I don't know what kind of discouragement or distraction or what you face this disappointment. But I know this, God's got a word that to help you, no doubt, and I'm still ciphering which sort of direction to go today as well. I'm just thinking over there a while ago when they were singing the last song of the choir, and then this man thought about Jesus, and I hope we never get tired of hearing about Jesus. That's what eternity is going to be centered around, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to rock a lot of folks' world, because a lot of times down here in this life, it's all about them. It's all about me, myself, and I, but it's all going to be about him. And you better make sure you make time for him on this side of eternity, because that's what's going to determine where you spend eternity, in a place called heaven or a place called hell. Shared this morning, and it's one of the tools that you can use for evangelism, or if you go out and you witness into somebody. There's three questions you better be able to answer, and just if we need to go somewhere else, we will. But there's three questions you and I need to be able to answer. Number one, where did I come from? We better be able to answer that. You say, well, hey, my textbook says we come from monkeys. My textbook says that we evolved out of a pool of scum, basically. That is not where we come from. We come and we were made in the image of Almighty God. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7 said, for the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I shared this morning in Sunday school, and I'd share again, as I say often, we have nothing to boast about, we have nothing to brag about, because we can trace our ancestry back to dirt. It's where we come from. We have nothing to boast about. We have nothing to brag about. But where did I come from? Well, we came from the dust of the ground. God made us. We were made in the image of Almighty God. You know why God made us? God desired fellowship. Brother T.R., God desired fellowship. And he made mankind, made after the image of Almighty God. And you better be able to answer that question. That's why one of the tools, and listen, thank God we still got some godly teachers that go to our church, that work in the public environment, but do understand that the majority of our kids are indoctrinated with this concept that we evolved. They take away the thought of a supreme being that created you and I. Don't you know that's a tool of the devil? Because what does the devil use? He uses a seed of doubt. You get that seed of doubt planted in those children at an early age, that's hard. And I'm thankful for the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17, will make a difference in that individual's life. But you better make sure, when you better be able to answer this question, where did I come from? You didn't come from an ape. You came from the dust of the ground, and God made you and I. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Question number one, where did we come from? Well, we came from the dust of the ground. God made us. Why am I here? There's a lot of folks even ask that. I'm talking about Christian, but why in the world am I here? Why am I dealing with what I'm dealing with? Why am I facing what I'm facing? What is my purpose in life? God has a lot to say about why we're here. Where do we come from? We came from the dust of the ground. God made us in his image, but why am I here? There's several reasons, but God wants to, certainly, number one, save you if you're not saved. That's God's greatest desire, is for you to be born again. And to be saved. You say, preacher, I've heard that a lot. And I've heard about being born again. I heard about being saved. But I really don't get it. Really don't understand what that means. Well, it's based on what they just sang about. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago, went to Calvary's cross. He was the Son of God. The only begotten of the Father. The only one of his kind. The only one that was able to provide that sacrifice for you and I to be saved. You study your Bible. God demands payment for every sin. And every sin will be paid. It'll either be paid by you, or somebody else is going to have to pay it for us. And there was only one substitute, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. When he went to Calvary's cross, he didn't die for his sin. He died for me, and he died, oh yeah, for you. You say, well, preacher, I hear that, but you must be talking to somebody else. No, I'm talking to everybody here. He died for every individual. For whosoever will, that's who he died for. And the Bible still said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is our only hope. But what's the great hope? And it's acceptable, it's available to all, but why am I here? God wants to save your soul. He made you, and he wants to save you, but that'll be your choice. You see, he died for you. There's many that go about establishing their own righteousness. Some will base it on church attendance and church membership and doing good to their neighbor and this, so on and so forth. But listen, there's only one way to be saved, and that's through and by Jesus Christ. God made it crystal clear in the world in which we live today. I mean, A lot of folks say, well, you're just too narrow-minded. You gotta evolve your thinking. Listen, we don't need to evolve our thinking. God meant what He said when He said John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't interpret that any other way. The early church, you can't interpret that any other way. Acts 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. How do we be saved, preacher? You've got to call on the name of the Lord. Somebody says, well, preacher, how can I be saved? That question was asked. Acts 16:30, I use this often, but the best example I can give you is from the Word of God. The Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said in verse 31 of Acts 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. It's whosoever will. But why am I here? Number one, God wants you to be saved, but once you get saved, that's not it. You don't just sit down and say, all right, I'm saved, that's it. There's a whole lot more, man. There's life. And God told us in His Word in 1 John 1:4, and these things write unto you that your joy may be full. There's a lot of discouragement in this world. I give you that. There's a lot of issues. There's a lot of problems in this world in which we face. There's chaos. There's confusion. We go outside. Thank God for a little refuge, a part where we can come in and we can worship God. When we leave in a little while, many of you are going to face the same battles that you walked in here with. And sometimes life can be discouraging, but God wants us to have joy. We ought to be a joyful people. Saved folk ought to be the happiest people on the face of the planet. Does that mean we're exempt from problems? Absolutely not. Does that mean we escape all death and sickness and issues? No. No, but we just got a different perspective. We got a different perspective as believers. So why am I here? God certainly wants to save you. But He wants to use you. Now, somebody's going to say, well, wait a minute, preacher. You know, you must be talking to somebody else because I'm small or I'm old or I'm weak, I'm frail, I've got this problem, I can't talk well. Well, just join the crowd of the Bible. Moses was a stutter. Think about Rahab was a harlot. We think about all those folks in the Bible. Noah was a drunkard. Yet God used them. Peter, he was an old hot-headed fella. We think about Paul. He was a murderer, consenting to the death of Saul. Think about those individuals that God used in the Bible. If God could use them, God can use you. But you got to be a willing, willing vessel. God never intended to save anybody. Now listen now. I say this often, but get it. God never intended to save somebody, Brother Danny, to sit soaking sour on a church pew. Amen. Or sit soaking sour at the house. Why are you here? What's your purpose? That's three questions. I ain't even got to the third question yet. We're still on the second one. Where did I come from? We were made in the image of God. Why am I here? You've got a purpose. You've got a plan. Number one is to be saved because, again, the book of Peter tells us it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But after you get saved, God wants to use you. But you've got to be submitted unto Him. You got to present your bodies unto Him. How do you know? Romans 12, verse number 1 said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's got a place for you. God's got a place for me. He's got a program. He's got a plan for my life. He's got a plan for your life. To let your light shine, but you got to be willing to present your body a living sacrifice. God said in Matthew 5, verse 13, He said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, it will be cast out, and it will be trodden under the foot of man. Now, I often use the illustration of greens, but you can use it with taters or whatever you want to, or even pintos. Have you ever tried to eat pintos without any salt on it? Ain't good. Two things pinto's got to have. You got to have a ham hock or some kind of fat back, something to season it with, and you got to have some salt. Same thing with greens. You got to have some. I mean, just to eat that without any salt, man, it's not good. So if something's bad like that, you put salt on it. What do you put on salt when it's lost its saltiness? Nothing. Salt ain't salty. You got to throw it out. God has placed us here to make a positive impact on society. Because we are the witness of this man they just sung about a second ago, the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about salt. Salt does a lot of things. Salt, we understand, it preserves. I mean, you take those old cans that you put in there and a lot of stuff that are in cans. Look at the preservatives, the salt and the sodium is in there to preserve that. Salt will also make you thirsty. If you don't believe me, just get you a big old slab of country ham and eat it, Brother Lynn. Ain't going to be long, about an hour or two later, you're going to say, man, I'm thirsty. Why? Because that salt makes you thirst. Do you understand that when God saves us for the purpose of certainly providing some things down here to make people ought to thirst after the things of God, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We ought to make people thirst because we're the salt of the earth. Then he goes on to say it about verse number 14, he said, of Matthew 5, he said, you're the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're to let our light shine to a lost and dark world. You know what light does? Light exposes things. You go into a dark room and maybe you can't see anything, and we've got a light out at the house. The Christian know what I'm talking about. And Brother Aiden, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. I called a fella. I said, hey, man, I need you. I ain't heard back from you. We got a light that's out in the hallway. And it's right there in the center between the living room and the two bedrooms and the bathroom. So you're constantly walking in this little hallway. Well, even though you know that light is out, you're constantly flipping that switch. The light won't work. You keep flipping that switch, on and off, on all the time. But you know what? When it's dark, you can't see. You can't see as good. Light exposes things. I mean, it'll let you know if there's a tripping hazard right here in front of you. You know, God has called us to be the light of the world. But listen, we're not to be hid underneath a bushel. We're to be on a candlestick so we give light unto all that are in the house. Again, God has not called the elephants and the zebras and the monkeys and the raccoons and the squirrels and the possums to present the gospel. He's called you and I that are saved by the marvelous grace of God. Preacher, why am I here? You're here, number one. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be saved. But once you get saved, He wants you to serve Him. We're salt and we're light, but that gets you to the third question. Where did I come from? Well, we were made in the image of God, came from the dust of the ground. Why am I here? We're here to be saved and then to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hit on Nehemiah this morning. A lot of folks say, well, you know what? If I had a different position, if I had a different place, then I'd serve the Lord. Well, Nehemiah was a king's cupbearer. He was in a position of authority, in a place of power, really, and prominence. And God used him. But you and I need to learn. Listen carefully now. You and I need to learn to bloom where we're planted. Amen. Brother Kevin, God didn't call you to be me. Brother Evan, God didn't call me to be you. Sister Debbie, God didn't call you to be me. We're all individuals. And God's got a plan and God's got a purpose for your life, and it's up to you to figure out what that is and to get with it. Why? Because one day you're going to meet God. We'll give an account of our stewardship. What is a steward? A steward has been entrusted with things, and it's up to us to do as God has given to us. So where did I come from, preacher? We came from the dust of the ground. Why am I here? Well, we're here to be saved, number one. That's, if you're not saved, that's your greatest need today. But once you get saved, it's to serve the Lord. But number three, where am I going? It's a good question, ain't it? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Your going depends on this man that they just sung about. It depends on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we live in a world today that really they like only positive things. They don't want any negative stuff at all. But you got to get this. If you die apart from Jesus Christ, there is a real, literal, burning fire in a place called hell. That'll eventually be cast into the lake of fire, which is eternal separation from a holy God. Even today, the lost man and the saved man, you've got several things in common. God has given you grace. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. God's been good to the saved. He's been good to the lost. He's given you an opportunity, if you're not saved, to be saved today. But where you're going is not based on what you know, really, but it's based on who you know. Amen. You better know Christ as Savior, because yes, there is a heaven to gain, but there's a hell to shun. Luke 16 talks about that picture of the rich man that closed his eye. He had the finest of the fine here on planet Earth, and he lived sumptuously every day. I mean, he had everything at his disposal, but he come one day and he died. Their day come and he closed his eyes in death. He had made preparations for a lot of things, no doubt. He probably had retirement set in place and he was living it up. But one day, death called up to him and he closed his eyes in death. And you see, he had prepared for a lot of things in life, Brother Danny, but he didn't prepare for death. And he opened his eyes in a place called hell. And there's no excuse today for anybody to die lost, because Jesus paid it all. They just sang about it. We try to preach about it on a continual basis, that Jesus died for your sin, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And he wants to save you, but it's up to you. You've got to respond by faith and call on the name of the Lord. And if you refuse to do that, there is a place called hell. A lot of folks say, well, I just can't believe a loving God would send anybody to hell. He don't. People do it themselves. When they reject the free pardon and forgiveness of sin that's only found in Jesus Christ, in him alone. But there's a heaven to gain for those that have trusted Christ. Man, think about all the imperfect people, all the broken people, all the people that had problems down here in life. Many of us got loved ones. They had all kinds of issues in life, yet they made the greatest decision on this side of heaven. They trusted Christ as Savior. Now they're in the presence of the Lord, not experiencing all the heartache, all the problems that we face here today. But understand, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul said, we are confident, I say, we'd rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When you close your eyes in death, if you know Christ, man, I don't know what you're facing today, but I know this, if you know Jesus as Savior, you're going to a place called heaven. Doesn't matter how poor you are. Doesn't matter how rich you are. Doesn't matter your social standing. Doesn't matter if you're big in society, you're considered as little in society. Doesn't matter what your color is. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your ethnicity. Doesn't matter your language. If you know Christ as Savior, thank God you punched that ticket by faith. You can be assured that you're going to heaven one day. Well, where'd I come from? Well, the Bible said we come from the dust of the ground. We were made in the image of God. Why am I here? God said we're to be saved. After we're saved, we're to serve the Lord. Where am I going? Well, that depends on what you do with Jesus. There's a hell to shun for those that reject him. There is a heaven to gain for those who receive him. And you know that God does call. Oh, yeah, he calls individuals for salvation. There's a call that you better answer for salvation. You say, hey, you know, when God calls you, oh, you'll know. You'll know that uneasiness. I didn't understand what conviction was when God began to deal with my heart. I understood the Bible. I knew that God loved me, and I understood that I could be forgiven. I'd heard about Jesus my whole life, but at 13 years old, the light finally went on, and God began to deal with my heart in conviction. There was an uneasiness. I was scared for the first time in my life, Brother Randy, to die. I understood that hell would be my home if I died apart from Jesus Christ, and God got a hold of my heart, and he began to call me. John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. There's a call of salvation. God will call you. And yeah, after you're saved, God will call you for service. He sure will. But you've got to be able to respond by faith. Yes, Lord, I'll surrender my life unto you. Whatever plan, whatever purpose, whatever program you want me to follow, that's what I'll do. He'll call you for salvation. He'll call you for service. But you can mark her down too. One day he'll call our soul. Yep. Hebrews 9:27 said, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Ecclesiastes 3:2 said there's a time to be born. There's a time to die. Sister Savannah's coming. One day God's going to call. We're going to leave out of here. You know what's going to matter? Somebody says, well, I got a great education. That's wonderful. Somebody said, hey, I got a great career. That's wonderful. Somebody says, I've done this and I've done that. Oh, that's great. But you better make sure there's been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ. And listen, you know. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to speculate. Don't say, well, man, I hope I'm ready. I think I'm ready. No, you better know. Salvation is a no-so. You know, again, I'm not banking on heaven for myself personally because I'm a preacher, because I'm a member of Faith Community Baptist Church, because I tithe. I try to be good to folks. I try to be a help to folks. I'm not banking on that for salvation, because salvation, that would never get you to heaven. One day as a 13-year-old, Brother Randy, I understood that I was lost. And boy, I'm glad I got lost so I could be found. Glad I got lost so I could be saved. There was voices on the outside of me. What will such and such think? Now, this is prior to me getting saved. God did it with me, Brother Brandon. What's somebody going to say? There was fear there. That's why I didn't move on that Wednesday night. I come under conviction, Brother Matt, on Wednesday night that I needed to move. Fear kept me from responding by faith and trust in Christ. I was afraid what somebody's going to say. Well, thank God, let me live until Thursday, and he was still dealing with my heart. I don't know, probably about 7 or 8 o'clock, it was dark outside. Man, I'd had all I could stand. Underneath the stars up in the edge of Virginia, I called on the name of the Lord, Brother Danny. You know what God did? God saved me. It was that simple. all at once, all those fears were overcome. And those people that I was afraid what they were going to think about me, you know what they were doing? They were hugging me. They were hugging me when everything was said and done. But the devil would put that seed in there, but he had begun to call me. Man, since I've been saved, God called me. He called me to preach, called me to Mount Sinai, called me to pastor right here, Faith Community Baptist Church. And listen, we've got to listen to those calls. And we're in control of those first two to a certain degree. God will call, and it's up to us to answer for salvation and for service. But listen, when death comes, it might happen on the way home. It may happen while we're asleep at night. It might be a heart attack. It might be cancer. It might be a long, drawn-out disease. And it could be instant. We just don't know. There's shootings all around. But it pays to be ready. And one day when God dials that number, He punches your card and says, "All right, you've had enough time. This is it. All the decisions will be over. No more decision making." God gives us right here, right now, in this space of time, the opportunity to respond by faith. "Preacher, where'd I come from? We came from the dust of the ground. We were made in the image of God. Why am I here? You're here, number one, to be saved. Number two, to serve. Where are you going?" That determines on your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ, you die in your sin, you're going to hell, plain and simple. I say that with a broken heart, not condemning anybody. I'm just saying that's a fact of where you're going apart from God. But if you know Christ, all the best is yet to come. He'll call you, but you got to respond by faith. As we stand all over the house, let's pray. Father, now I love you and I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to share. And God, I've done my best to exhaust myself of this thought that you placed on me just a few minutes ago. Now, would you take your word? I pray that it find a lodging place in somebody today. God, no doubt with the number of crowd we've got here today and those that are listening, probably somebody needs to be saved. I pray that you draw them by conviction. God, help them to see their need while there's still time and opportunity. I don't want to see anybody die lost. God, I know you don't. You made a way that they could be saved. God, help them to move by faith. I pray for that one that is saved today. And Lord, they just sort of sputtering through life, never really committed and submitted unto what you want for their life. God, may today be the day somebody gets it nailed down and starts serving you, not with half heart, but with whole heart. God, help us all to prepare for that day when death knocks at our door. God, help us to be ready. Save that sinner nearest hell now. We'll give you thanks, for we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by his marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.